Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
James chapter 5. Well, I'll tell you what, my light, is those lights are all the way up, you know? Maybe it's just me. Oh, voice. I have to get some of those glasses that have the lights on them. But tonight, James, I love James chapter 5. James is a great book, you know, it's a very short book with five chapters. But James chapter 5 really covers a lot of things. The end of it's effectual prayer, which I really like. But these verses tonight, verses 7 through 9, is basically there's a subtitle to it, and it's waiting for the Lord. And the message God laid on my heart tonight is just to be patient, because it's so hard when this society has trained us, conditioned us, and formed us to be people that don't wait for anything. And I mean now, you know, Amazon's working on now being able to take your packages and within hours drop them off at your home with little drones. They've been doing the mode with which it's going to happen in Africa now for a while. It's actually saved tens of thousands of people. They've been doing it for years now because they have these little, they actually look like little planes in a sense, and they're catapulted out of the hub, not Amazon, it's another company that does it, and rain, sleet, snow, or shine, it's able to send medical supplies to any hospital, and it parachutes them out there, and it comes back, and they have this neat little system with which this thing catches these delivery drones, delivery planes. So even there in Africa, in these hospitals, they're not having to wait on blood or medical supplies that people need desperately. So we are trained, though, to get it now. I remember it starting a lot when I was a child, you know, with the, you know, Burger King, you know, have it your way. You know, you want it, you can get it right now. We got fast food, right? All these different things, we want it right now. We don't want to wait for anything. When I was a kid and you needed a jacket, when I was a boy, you didn't go to the store and buy a jacket. You went to the Sears catalog store. And at the Sears catalog store, there was nothing there but catalogs. And you opened up the Sears catalog, you found what you needed, and then you ordered it. And then you went back 2 weeks, sometimes up to a month later, and you went to the catalog store and you got what you bought. A whole nother universe. Amen? Not now. No, you go to the store and buy, unless it's a dress shirt, then you can't buy one at Walmart anymore. They don't have those things. But it's changed so different. We don't know what it means to be patient now. We want it now. And we want a 30-second sermon, right? We want a 30-minute sermon in 30 seconds. And we want God to answer our prayer right now. We don't want to wait because we need it now, Lord. You know, I've got a need right now. Well, that's not how God works. And I pray tonight's message encourages you to be patient, because Scripture even gives a challenge: those that wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord. There's a lot of promises we know in Isaiah from that scripture. That's not the message tonight, but just the encouragement in it. Those that wait on the Lord. Be patient. Scripture is very rife with patience. Patient in affliction, in suffering. Persevering in prayer. What is God doing? He's growing us. He's challenging us. He is forming us. And it's not easy, especially when you're in the midst of desperation. And whether you're Elijah in the wilderness, waiting for something to bring you food, or whether you are our dear man Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, when Jezebel says, "So be it, before this day ends, I'm going to kill you." And the next thing you know, after watching the power of God and manifest in ways that most people have never seen, you're running from a wicked queen who says she's going to kill you, when God's power has literally fallen from heaven and manifested itself in front of 400 of the Baal prophets. But yet we can fall into that same thing. Don't think for a moment we're any different, because we're the same way they were. But we don't have an excuse because of the fact that as followers of Christ under the new covenant in the New Testament, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit affirms God's covenantal promises to us. He also reaffirms the truths of His Word, and they did not have that back then. So I encourage you tonight, as you dig in the Word, to please in no way allow this to be the end of your study of this. Spend some time. Spend some time digging in God's Word. Again, this is basically an overview. We cannot in any way exhaustively study these topics that we talk about on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. Dig in God's Word. Go home. Find more verses that, as a matter of fact, if you have even any kind of computer system, you can get on Logos. I don't know how much it'll let you do, but you can find so much that applies to each one in different scriptures that affirm the truths of it, and it's really exciting studies that you can do. That's not even going into Bible studies. This is just scriptural studies on the reaffirmation of these godly truths and godly principles. And as you do that, Scripture, when you seek me with all your heart, what? I will be found. So if you want to delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desire of your heart. Get in His presence, stay in His presence, seek Him with all your heart, because He will be found. Hope you found James chapter 5, again verse 7 through 9. And if you're able physically tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the earthly and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Father, thank you tonight again for your word. Lord, let it speak to our hearts. God, let it minister to us, challenge us, convict us. Father, whatever it is, Lord, have your way. Hide me behind the cross so that you alone may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 7 again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. Talk about worry a lot. Law of diminishing returns. I don't know why I don't have a lot of patience with worry. I don't. Because worry is you believing that God's a liar. And I don't care if you think that's offensive to you and you don't like the way it sounds. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's the truth. So tonight, if you worry or your wife worries or your husband worries and you are not actively basically embarrassing them and saying, are you literally that person that believes God lies? I'd be honest with them about it. As a husband, when you allow your wife to worry and you know about it, you're allowing them to engage in the enemy's territory, to be taken captive by someone who's stealing and robbing from them. Taking something from them, he has no right to take from us what is God's promise. God's promise is never going to fail. So when the enemy tries to get you, your spouse, your friends to worry, rebuke it, rebuke the concept of it. Don't allow that to happen, because the only thing it does is take and it never gives. The law of diminishing returns, the more you engage in it, the more you lose. Diminishes returns. It doesn't add ever one moment. So what you do when you or I allow a spouse, allow a friend to engage in that and don't truly challenge them and go, are you literally going to do this? Look what you're showing others. You really are going to let the people that you know see you engaging in this behavior, and then you're going to, out of the other side of your mouth, tell them how awesome God is and how He provides for you? Are you really honestly going to do that? You're defeating the very statements you make about how good God is by over here about all this worry you have. Because what it's saying is, oh, God's so good, He provides everything, but He's going to fail. That's insanity. You're literally double speaking. It's like the manifestation of, in a sense, you know, bipolar. They used to call that manic depressive, right? One morning, if you've ever seen that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Remember the guy who had that in that movie. He's on cloud nine. Babyface Nelson. On cloud nine. Hey, an hour later, you're in the manic high or the manic low. Those are two competing life mindsets and everything else that have no business being in one person. There's no reason to worry. It does nothing for you. You see a person that says, you know, it is so beautiful outside, but I hate the sun. What? You'd tell somebody they're crazy, wouldn't you? But it's the same concept. It's the same principle. You know, I really love to go fast in a car, but I can't stand movement. You know what? I love to fly an airplane, but I don't want to get on it and have to get in the air to fly. What? It is the same mindset with that, though. Worry is something that, as a follower of Christ, it defeats everything that you say you are. Because it changes nothing. Ready for this? Not only has it never changed anything since the beginning of time in history, it never will. So when you or I engage in that behavior or allow someone else to engage in that behavior, we are telling God, I think that you are a liar and you're going to fail me. How about the challenge tonight? Whoa. We don't want to look at it like that, do we? We just want to look at it as this thing that gives us comfort, right? When we don't like what's going on around us, we can worry about it. It makes us feel better, like we're actually doing something for the situation. No, you're doing nothing, and you are engaging the enemy. You've bought the bait. You've taken the bait. Now, how long are you going to continue to dwell, not in the presence of the Lord, in faith? Faith is Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So if God's promise is to never leave us and never forsake us, how can a follower of Christ Jesus dwell in the realm of worry when we are living in faith? Even if nothing else, the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. Well, how in the world can you have the faith of a mustard seed that moves mountains, but yet you're worried about how you're going to pay a payment on something? Well, if you bought something you didn't pray about it, I'm not going to tell you better worry about it, but you better be concerned if you weren't praying about a purchases that you've made or purchases that you might be considering. You better start praying about them, because that's the time, and again, I'm not going to call it worry, but you better be concerned if you have acted as a Gibeonite did and got deceived, because it might be a tough road for a little while. Should you worry about it? No, because God sometimes even teaches us through the foolishness of financial decisions that we should not have made. He lovingly paddles us, huh? As a father, a son, discipline, as Scripture calls it. And sometimes God has to spiritually paddle financial things that were not what they should have been to get us to be faithful with what God's given us, because he's never going to entrust us with more if we're not faithful with little. Those who have been entrusted with little or faithful with little will be entrusted with much. Those who are not faithful with little, what? Nothing else will be entrusted to them. God's not going to bless a mess. He's not going to bless unfaithfulness. And brothers and sisters, if you believe for a moment that you're going to act in faithlessness and, right, find yourself in a place of comfort and worry, it's not going to end well. Because, again, it's an affront to the Lord himself. It's an affront to him. Because what it's saying is, God, you are not being honest with me, and I believe you lie. I believe you're going to hang me out. You're going to leave me high and dry. And the first thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Out of verse 7, patience requires us being okay with God's timing and plan. Patience requires us to be okay with God's timing and plan. Well, wait a minute, I've got a bill due Friday, I don't get paid till next Wednesday, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you're going to be patient, and you're going to do what those that mount up on wings like eagle, right? You're going to be patient. Those that wait on the Lord, you're going to wait on the Lord. Do you have any other option? No, wait on the Lord. Why don't you get an excited, giddy feeling inside going, Lord, if everything falls in, you've got a different plan for me. You're teaching me through this. I'm going to trust you, and I'm excited because I know that you're going to show yourself to be faithful. And I show you are going to do an amazing thing. And God, I know you're going to do something so that I can sit back and I can brag at what and how you did what you did and how you'd made the impossible possible in my life. With what in the moment I did not see a way forward, how you could ever make what I'm facing work out. And I'm going to be able to give you glory, and I'm going to be able to boast in the wonderful works of your hand. Think about looking at it from that perspective. How about repeating scripture when the enemy wants to squat on your brain and get you worrying about what you're going to do? Why don't you start delighting yourself in the Lord? Start meditating on scripture. Start repeating scripture. How about giving God thanks when you want to worry? How about doing what that old children's song says? Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? Huh? Great little songs, isn't it? Lot better than sitting in there worrying about something that you can't change anything with, taking part in the law of diminishing returns, getting absolutely nothing for it. Remember, patience requires us being okay with God's timing and God's plan. What if God's plan is not to answer it the way you think it needs answered? You've got to trust his plan. The song I sing to you continually, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, by the way, qualify the needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nation and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. And I could go on with each subsequent verse. But listen, verse 8, we move on. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Not only are we going to ultimately face the return of Christ, but you know what else we're going to deal with? We're going to deal with the time that we go to be with him if Christ's return isn't back. But we also have that time right there as we are being patient and as the Holy Spirit of God must strengthen our hearts in his truth, because the Lord, his coming's near, meaning him showing up to the circumstance is coming guaranteed. How? When? Why? We don't know that. It's not ours. See, Scripture says, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. God doesn't deal with things the way we think they should be dealt with. You know how many times I can't even fathom that people have never seen the divine hand of God because they gave up before God showed up. You ever hear what I just said? How many people never saw the divine hand of God in their life, never watched the miraculous happen in their life because they gave up before God showed up? Now, my question to you is, how many times have you given up before God showed up? How many times have you been dealing with a wife, a husband, a friend, and you were trying to urge them out of this worry thing, but you got tired of it? Even though it was your biblical call to shepherd them out of that, to do what Jude even says, snatch others from the fire, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh, someone being taken captive to a doctrine that is demonic. You ready? Demonic. You know that worry is a demonic doctrine. It's not godly. Amen? Oh me. It's truth. Whether you like it or not, worry's not of God. So where does that leave it? It leaves it in the realm of darkness. Now how much more dwelling in the presence of the enemy do we want to do? I've had enough of that in my life. I don't want any more of it. I don't want to dwell for a second in the presence of the enemy. I don't want to dance with demons. Absolutely not. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Yeah. But yet, if you or family members are engaging and living in these states of worry, you are dancing with the devil. And what you're going to find out is, oh, you bite on it this time, don't worry. You'll come back with something much stronger next time. He'll get you to dwell and dance a lot longer than you danced this time. And by the way, it'll get so much worse. He'll take your joy. And he won't stop until he has it all, until there's not one smile to be found in your entire home. You think I can't see in a home when there's no joy? You don't know me well enough. I can sit down and tell you what I see. Because the faces of people manifest the lives or lifestyles outside these walls. If you have no joy in the body of Christ, I know what. Oh, no, I only get happy when I'm at home. Really? Tell me that one again. You can try to fool me. You've lost your mind. As a matter of fact, you're going to be at the height of your happiness, or you're faking it till you make it here. Well, Jonathan, I never really thought of that. There hadn't been a smile in my house in 67 years, you might say. Well, let's deal with it, huh? Let's find out what's at the root of that lack of joy in the assembly of the home. Because I know what Scripture says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, I'm just not a happy person, really. The joy of the Lord is my strength, so I don't know what's wrong with you, but I know that my joy is in the Lord. So my joy cometh from the Lord. My joy comes from dwelling in His presence. Are you outside His presence? I bet you don't feel real good. Are you overcome dancing with the enemy in the camp of worry? Are you dancing with him in compromise and now wondering, oh, wonder why there is no joy at all in my life? Maybe you need to step back and do an introspective inside look and say, I've not been drinking from the fountain and my cup is surely not overflowing. Why don't we think tonight about how we restore joy in the home? And joy starts in the hula hoop, you, because nothing's going to change until it changes with you. So maybe you need to get in that hula hoop tonight and deal with the problem. It's in the hula hoop, not everybody else. You choose joy, and it's a personal choice that you choose. To what? Take hold of the things of the Lord, the blessings of God, the call of the Lord, to pray without ceasing, get in His presence, delight yourself with Him, fill yourself with the joy of the Lord that is your strength, overwhelm yourself with Scripture and dancing. By the way, go into Psalms. Oh yeah, there's Psalms of ascent and the Psalms of descent, right? The times where there's tough, but there's also mountaintops all throughout Psalms. Great Scripture to encourage you. You see all throughout the psalmist beautiful pictures of times of rejoicing, difficulties. You see real life lived out in the Psalms. But the second thing I want to share with you tonight is this: giving up shows no faith or perseverance. You want to give up? You know, I'm tired. I'm worn out. I've been praying about it I've prayed about it 3 times. And I mean, God just doesn't hear me. Really? I know people prayed for 30 and 40 years for something before it was answered. You hear that? Hey, I know people that prayed for something for thousands of years. Go from Genesis to Malachi. Amen? They prayed for thousands of years before their prayer was answered for the Messiah. Sadly, look at that. Many of them rejected it still. So when you tell me you've been praying for something, you know, for 2 whole weeks, and I mean, Lord, I've been really in the fire with it. I tell you, man, I've prayed once a day for 2 solid weeks. I prayed 14 times, and nothing's happened yet. Really? Well, why don't you pray another 30 years? And how about you leaving this life and never seeing that prayer answered and come to fruition? Does that mean God lied? No, it's just God's timing was not then. Doesn't mean that God will answer. I'm beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know. Because God is not a liar, God is faithful. But we've got to recognize it's not about us, it's about Him. And that's why the title of tonight's message, Be Patient. Those that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. What? Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient. It's interesting. I remember when I was young, when they would read about prophecy, you know, and talk about, you know, people are going to start saying, you know, where is he? I'm paraphrasing, you know, where is he? You know, where is he? They're mocking you at this point, you know. And where is he? Where is he? You know, where is he? He's over there. He's left you. Forgot you. It's interesting how more and more now, I'm sitting there going, man, Jesus is coming back. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming back. You see where they arrested two people in Israel, was it last week or the week before, because they were getting ready to sacrifice red heifer? You know, it's a scriptural thing there. Hey man, they're like, listen, hardcore, they're ready to offer that sacrifice scripture talks about. It, go into Revelation, you'll see what I'm talking about. Look in Ezekiel. You think things are not going to get, you think they're going to be able to just continue, everything's just going to go on into infamy and, you know, scripture's not going to be fulfilled? You've lost your mind. As a matter of fact, you'll probably get a better return on your investment if you just didn't believe anything, because I can promise you it's going to happen. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's going to happen. Christ is coming back. Is he going to come back and pre-trib, mid-trib? I don't care. I really don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I know it's going to happen, and when it happens, praise God, and I mean that. Glory, hallelujah. I'm not going to sit back and spend the next 6 months doing a deep study on and then sitting back going, I think it's going to happen. Right. Why don't you just get busy doing what you're supposed to do right now? You can read scripture, spend about 5 minutes deeply thinking about it, and then move on to what? Being obedient and doing what you read about. Don't sit around and spend the next 10 years trying to philosophize, right? Get all philosophical about something because you want to try to prove everybody that you know when it's going to happen. There's been too many people do that, amen? And you know what the wild part's been? So far, all of them have been wrong. Scripture says, who doesn't know the day and the hour? Only the Father. End of story. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with how it works out. I don't care. I just know that when Christ comes back, as long as you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's going to be a glorious and grand event. But you don't want to be on the other side of things. Having said, Lord, I just don't buy it like that. I think the Bible's flawed, and I think, you know, I just don't think, I buy a few, I like a cherry pick stuff, Lord. Give me some of that health and wealth and prosperity, but that suffering, you can hold that. I think me and you have an understanding, Lord. It's all going to work out. You know how we are, Lord. We're tight. You've lost your mind. It's what God says. There's going to be no arguing with him. There's going to be no debating with him. What God's word says is truth, end of story. If I didn't believe it, I'd be out of here, and I'd live like the devil. As a matter of fact, I'd make people that were bad look like they were living good, because I'd eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. But I know truth, and that's the reason tonight that I'm investing in something that moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. I'm not going to invest in these things of the world, because they are all passing away. They're fleeting. It's foolishness. Tonight, listen to verse 9. Brothers and sisters, don't complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. This principle right here, I think, is one of the deepest principles in all of time and history. You ready? If you can't say something nice, don't say it. Now, that's the first time you've probably ever heard that. If you can't say something nice, there's an old song. I'll teach you. I bet nobody's ever heard it. If you can't say something nice, say nothing. Take a bit of good advice. Say nothing, right? Just be quiet. Sometimes you have to speak truth in the situations that are not pretty. You have to bring a situation to light to try to bring it out of the darkness. I understand that. I truly understand that. But if you have something you're dealing with somebody, now if they've made it public, that's a whole different ballgame. Had to deal with that recently, even as much as this past week. But if someone hasn't made something public and you want to go and air out their business to the entire world, that's not right. Do what the scripture says right there. Don't complain about one another. I'll tell you what, I do all the work. Have I heard that before? 3 months later, that person that says that ain't doing nothing. Amen? Oh, me. I've seen it time and time again. Somebody gets upset. I don't know why. Nobody else will do anything. Nobody else will do anything. And I'm doing everything. And then 3 months later, all of a sudden, that person's doing nothing. And everybody else, things go through cycles. People have busy times. They have slow times. My big encouragement to you, do what God leads you to do. And do it how? With all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Well, I'm doing... Oh, you worried that you're going to have too many crowns in heaven? That God's going to reward you too much and somebody else won't have enough and you're just trying to spread the goodwill? That's not your motivation. I'm sorry, but it's not. The Bible talks about God's going to reward you. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So if you're doing something for the Lord, just do it. Don't worry about what somebody else is not doing. Because who is the only person we can control? Me. And you can control you. You can't make anybody else do the right thing. But you and I can control us. You know what the great part about that is? When you and I control us, we control someone who has the ability to impact and affect other people, us. People can see you doing the right thing, and by you doing the right thing could encourage somebody to do the right thing. What happens if they still don't want to do the right thing? That's their choice. You're going to try to put and invoke your will on somebody else to do what you think they should do? Where's their ability to yield to the Spirit and do what they're supposed to do of their own accord? If you can't say something nice, just don't say anything. It's better just to leave it unsaid. Amen? Unless you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. You hear that? If you're part of the problem or part of the solution, if you're part of somehow how to try to resolve it in some way, good, let's do it. But otherwise, zip it. Keep it quiet, because why? Bible says it. You're not doing anything that's going to engage. I understand at your house, you have conversations, your family, I understand that. What is your objective in that? Look in your heart. Is it working through emotions, working about how to understand and how to process something? I understand that. But if you're just tearing apart, hurting, defaming, step back and do an introspective look at where the root of what you're doing is coming from. Because there's real damage that can be done. Be patient, wait on the Lord, focus on what you should be doing. Because when you do that, you've gotten to the root of being able to fertilize and be used of the kingdom instead of being used like, by the way, I learned many years ago, you don't pour salt on a tree. Anybody know what salt does to a tree? It kills it. I didn't know. I dumped out my salt water softener outside. Next thing you know, my beautiful tree went. We always think it was salty. Hey, the Bible talks us to be salty. And yeah, go out there and pour some salt on your tree, or right, in moderation. If not, what do you become? Bitter. Amen? Oh, me. Be very, very careful. Everything in moderation. Brothers and sisters, be patient. Step back tonight. It's not our desires. It's not our wills. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose for God's glory. That person right now that you're frustrated about, that you've been praying about, that's not doing what they should do, keep praying for them. How long do you pray? Until they get saved or die. There's a good time frame. When they die, you are free from you don't have to pray anymore. We're not Catholics. Thank the Lord. Amen? Because then you'd have to continue to pray for them. Thank the Lord, as followers of Christ, we recognize that when somebody breathes their last breath, we have been freed from having to pray for them anymore. Amen? Then we know that what's been done is done. We can no longer have an impact on their life right now. Then what do? Replace them with someone else. God, who's next? Put another person on that prayer list. and be an effective tool, not for the enemy, but for the kingdom. Be patient. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for the challenge of this scripture tonight, being patient. Father, it's so easy as we get frustrated because we're in a culture that...
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.